Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, another video shows another New York City police officer attacking a suspect's head with the suspect on the ground, again for a small underlying crime, marijuana possession. This as the New York Times editorial board takes its first ever stand for repealing the federal marijuana laws. Did you see that over the weekend? We'll talk to the leader of a group critical of Commissioner Bratton's emphasis on minor crimes. Also today, the new wave of subprime loans, not for mortgages. This time it's for car loans. Is it a new danger to Americans' financial security? But we begin today in Albany, where the fallout is still falling from revelations by the New York Times last week about just how much Governor Cuomo interfered with a Moreland Commission on public corruption that he said was independent, like blocking them from investigating some of his own campaign funders. And on the gubernatorial campaign taking place at the same time, Cuomo running for re-election, a Democratic primary challenge from the left, from Fordham law professor Zephyr Teachout, and Cuomo's running mate, Kathy Hochul, announcing a whole additional party line they'll be running on called the Women's Equality Party. With us for this is Karen DeWitt, who covers Albany for public radio stations around New York State. Hi, Karen. Good morning.
Morning, Brian.
First, we haven't talked about it yet on this show. So what's this new ballot line, creative out of thin air, it seems to me, the Women's Equality Party?
Yeah, that sort of dropped into the ether after it was announced. Governor Cuomo has been unsuccessful in getting his Women's Equality Act passed, mostly because there aren't enough votes in the New York State Senate for an abortion rights provision that would essentially codify the rights in Roe v. Wade, the federal decision from now 40-odd years ago. So the governor is hoping to capitalize on that as a campaign issue. It also highlights that his opponent, his Republican opponent anyway, Rob Astorino, is pro-life. So he figured that would get him a little more mileage, a few more votes. Rob Astorino, as you may remember, started his own extra party called Stop Common Core against the Common Core Learning Standards. So you're allowed to do that in New York, create essentially as many parties as you want and run on them. And, you know, they're taking advantage of that. Cuomo's hoping he'll get some women voters. But we have not heard that much about it since the day it was announced. Maybe because some other things came into the news. I don't know.
Maybe a few other things, and we'll talk about one or two of those things. But here is Cuomo's running mate, Lieutenant Governor candidate Kathy Hochul, on the Women's Equality Party.
We're trying to give permanent standards so this can become a long-term advocacy arm for all of us in government. You cannot imagine the excitement I saw in the faces of the young women there, people from the immigrant community, people from all walks of life who feel excited that there's a new energy, that someone is actually taking women's issues seriously enough to have a ballot line to represent them. And a lot of it has to do with bringing over the finish line the agenda that the governor set forth last year, the Women's Equality Agenda. Mm-hmm. And it came up short. And now the governor has told me he wanted me to champion this next year in the legislature. First of all, we start by electing Democrats to the Senate, very aggressively getting them in position to do this and working on that agenda. So I think it's going to be there for the long term, and it's going to be very effective.
Kathy Hochul, Governor Cuomo's running mate, with Era Lewis on New York One earlier this month. What does it take, Karen, for the governor or anyone else to set up a new political party and put themselves on the ballot on that party statewide?
Well, as far as I know, you have to get a certain number of petitions signed, and I'm sorry, I don't know the amount. Math is never my strong point. But it's not expected anybody would challenge those petitions.
Does
so
the new
it's
party,
fairly easy to do.
Does this party have an infrastructure, a state party chair, woman, I presume, party strategists and pollsters, things like that, that we assume?
Really. It's sort of a sub-arm of the state Democratic Party, which essentially is run by Governor Cuomo. And I should also point out, it also highlights the fact that the lieutenant governor candidate is a woman and gives her some mileage. Maybe people would want to vote because she is on there, and she is in a primary, a Democratic primary, and her opponent is a man, lieutenant governor candidate Tim Wu, who's running with Zephyr Teachout. So this is pointing out, you know, that she's a woman, and, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea to vote for her. And
by the way, what's the rationale for codifying in state law the guarantees that women already have nationally on abortion under Roe versus Wade? Is the idea that just in case the next Republican president gets that next one or two votes on the Supreme Court and they actually overturn Roe, that it's already guaranteed for New York women?
Yeah, there actually is a rationale for it. It was started by former Governor Eliot Spitzer. New York was one of the first states to legalize abortion back in 1970, and some of the laws are now considered kind of antiquated, where they some things are under criminal statute. They think it should be under health statute. So there is a rationale to modernize the laws, because if Roe v. Wade were overturned, we would have a law that it still allowed women the right to choose abortion, but it could be more limited. It could be subject to court challenges. I mean, it's many decades old, and so that's the rationale. But it's gotten stuck in the state Senate, where the Republicans, many Republican senators don't want to vote for it. And actually, there aren't, if you count the Democrats alone, there aren't enough votes, because you need 32 votes to pass anything in the Senate. There aren't 32 votes there. So it's pretty much been stuck right, both by Democrats and Republicans, even though the Democrats will blame the Republicans for it more.
And that's why Kathy Hochul said in that clip, our first agenda to get the Women's Equality Act passed is to defeat some of the Republicans running for state Senate. I've read that. And by the way, my guest is Karen DeWitt. If you're just joining us, Bureau Chief in Albany for New York State Public Radio. Listeners, if you want to weigh in on this or the investigation into the governor's actions with the Moreland Commission, 212-433-WNYC. Any men or women listening who would be more likely to vote for Cuomo, Hochul on the the Women's Equality line as opposed to the Democratic Party line or the Working Families Party line, which they also have. Maybe I'm leaving out a few. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Karen, before we get to Moreland, I read that there may be three political targets for this Women's Equality Party. His Democratic primary challenger is Zephyr Teachout, who's a woman. Mm-hmm. His Republican challenger, Rob Estorino, who, as you pointed out, is pro-life, so it highlights that difference. And maybe most important, most odd, and most conspiratorial, the Progressive Working Families Party, which has endorsed Cuomo and put him on their party's ballot line. Are you an adherent to this conspiracy theory at all?
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is something that a lot of people were talking about. Cuomo was really put under pressure from the Working Families Party to agree to a number of things on their agenda. He didn't attend this raucous Saturday night convention in late May, but he had to send a video that many people thought looked kind of like a hostage video. It was filmed in a basement somewhere, and he was essentially told what to say. You have to support this, this, and that. The women's equality was one of the things, public campaign finance, the DREAM Act, tuition for assistance for undocumented immigrants. And, the word is he was kind of annoyed that, here he is, the governor of New York State, and he was kind of forced to do this video. It had to be revised because they weren't satisfied with the language. And this could be a little way to get back at them, take some votes away from them on the ballot if, more women vote for Cuomo under the Women's right. Equality Party than the Working Families
and,
Party.
And you say some votes. But the way New York state law works, any party that does not get at least 50,000 votes for governor on its line, as I know you know, loses its automatic ballot status for the next 4 years and
That's
has
right.
to gather petition signatures for every race they want to have a candidate in, making it very hard to do business. Is the Working Families Party enough of a thorn in the governor's side that he would want to destroy them like that if they don't get the 50,000 because, people who don't want to vote for him on the Democratic line then split their votes between working families and women's equality?
Well, he's certainly gotten a lot of trouble from them since they did endorse him back in 2010. And now, as we just talked about, under duress, he had to agree to a number of things. I don't know. And certainly, he might want to tweak them a little bit, get back at them a little bit for humiliating him back in May by, saying, I can take some votes away from you anytime I want.
212-433-WNYC, if you want to get in on this. All right, Karen, now I want to get your take on the pretty devastating investigative reporting piece in the New York Times last week. And listeners, if you want to hear our extended conversation with the reporters of that piece, you can check our Brian Lehrer Show page at WNYC.org about how the governor stopped his Moreland Commission on Public Corruption from investigating some of his own political funders. And I should say, not that anyone suspects him of corruption in any illegal sense, but the commission was very much about the larger question of how money influences democracy in New York State. So I realize, Karen, that it's late July and you could probably hear an air-conditioned pin drop in the halls of the state capitol. Mm-hmm. But do you have a sense of whether this is reverberating very much?
Well, the way that we have a sense is that it's reverberating is we cannot get any other politicians to talk on the record on this. They'll talk off the record, but nobody wants to touch this thing.
Democrats, Republicans?
Democrats, Republicans, mostly because a lot of the lawmakers are afraid that they're going to be implicated in these ongoing investigations by U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara. You have the Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, who was involved by deputizing these commissioners, with a point we can get into later. He doesn't want to talk about it because, you know, the question is, well, why wasn't he watching if there was interference with this commission? So it's more the silence is quite telling. Everybody's kind of afraid to be on this because I think they're all really afraid of the U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara and what he may be looking at and what he may, you know, possible things he may have on them.
All right. Preet Bharara already looking into the Moreland Commission's work to add this very interesting wrinkle, just to carry it forward after he thought the governor disbanded it prematurely. Maybe he will get more focus now on the governor's own role. But let me play a clip of Preet Bharara on this show just after he announced that he was unhappy with the governor a couple of months ago for disbanding the Moreland Commission after just 9 months of investigating public corruption in New York State, Preet Bharara.
The facts are that the commission was established for a period of time, and I understand it was not going to be in perpetuity, but it was clear that it was going to be established for a year or 2 years, and there was talk. If you look at the website, even I think today or yesterday, you see that they're talking about a future report that was going to be issued, I think, in 2015. So I think the plain facts are that it was disbanded before its time. 9 months may be the proper and natural gestational period for a child, but in our experience, it is not the amount of time necessary for a public corruption prosecution to mature. And sometimes when you hear about the cases that my office has brought and other offices have brought, it can take a year, 2 years. The important thing now is that as we speak, folks from my office and investigators are going over to the commission to collect the documents, and we'll see what they are, and we'll go through the files. And if there are cases to bring that are appropriate for us to bring, we'll bring them. If they're appropriate for us to further refer to local and other federal prosecutors, we'll do that. So, we just want to get our hands on the files and make sure that the work is getting done, because that was not clear to me last week.
U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara on this program. That was April 10th. Announcing that he would finish the work of the Moreland Commission that Governor Cuomo started but did not finish, as far as U.S. Attorney Bharara is concerned. So that's been almost 4 months now, Karen. Do you expect any indictments from the U.S. Attorney during this campaign season? It's not just the governor, but the entire state legislature that's up for election in November. Anything coming?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And what struck me now with what Preet Bharara said is investigations take a while to mature. So will they mature before Election Day and possibly, impact Governor Cuomo? As we said, he's not accused of wrongdoing, but his top aide, Larry Schwartz, is accused of trying to get subpoenas rescinded and sort of trying to cover up things. And, the cover-up is sometimes worse than the crime. So that is the big question. And what's very interesting, you asked for my take earlier, and I didn't really answer you. It's for the first time since Cuomo's been governor, here's something that's really out of his control and out of his hands. He's been very careful of controlling the agenda, being kind of the star of his own narrative in Albany, getting everybody to cooperate with him, whether grudgingly or not. And in this case, this thing has spun out of control for him. The excuse that he gave to the Times about, well, it's my commission, so they can't investigate me, it just rang hollow with everyone. I mean, at the very least, he looks like a hypocrite. At the worst, he looks like he's kind of fudging the truth, or he's, would rather be seen as maybe kind of a liar, because he'd rather be seen that than something worse. And, it's just very puzzling that how he got himself kind of into this box and into this mess, because he's known as kind kind of a political genius who thinks 5-6 steps ahead of everybody else. And, you know, how did he not see this coming? I mean, that's what puzzles me about it, really.
Any of the details from the Times article that you found most interesting, like in terms of maybe particular funders of the governor who he didn't want looked at by the Moreland Commission or anything else that jumped out at you?
Well, not really. We all knew about, you know, these funders and donors and various relations. I mean, the governor, you know, he says he wants public campaign financing. We'll take him at his word for that. He hasn't been able to get that. But at the same time, he's using this system to the fullest extent. And he has $35 million in the bank. And there's going to be many things that, if they're not a conflict of interest, they appear to be. When you take lots and lots of money from many, many people in large sums and you govern, people are going to make connections. So it could look bad for him, even if he didn't do anything wrong. And that's the inherent problems in this system. But certainly, if you're a governor and you want to run for re-election, you're going to take as much money as you can get, because essentially when you have that much money, you don't have to worry about, you know, any kind of political opponent gaining any ground on you.
And I guess by stopping investigations into people who are funding him, if that's what actually happened, the governor was making government less transparent. And this contrasts with something that he said on this program last December, Governor Cuomo, here December 3rd.
I want a legislative resolution. I don't want just a quick fix. I want the law changed so we have an even more transparent system that people trust and people have faith in it.
Governor Cuomo here last December. Does his statement about transparency get contradicted by his actions with respect to the way he directed the Moreland Commission? I mean, it would certainly...
That's a problem for the governor. He said a lot about this issue, and it's hard to walk it back. And just the one more point that I would make, I think this is damaging for him. It's an easy storyline to follow. I've covered a lot of scandals and controversies that are really complex. But this is essentially Cuomo said, you can investigate anything. Oh, no, except me. You can't investigate me. And as we saw it play out on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, it's pretty easy to explain to people.
Right.
And I think then it becomes more damaging because, you know, it just makes them look bad.
Well, but he goes further than saying you can investigate anybody but me. His defense is it would have been a conflict of interest if they investigated him, because this is a governor's investigative commission. So if somebody wants to investigate the governor, there are arms of government that do that, notably the legislature. His commission was to investigate the legislature. I mean, that's his affirmative defense.
Yeah, except for he said the complete opposite last summer. He said that they could investigate anyone. He said wrongdoers will be punished. And then he ended the Moreland Commission without really, you know, letting the investigations come to fruition. Yeah, that would be okay if he had said that from last summer. Everyone would have understood, okay, we're not investigating the governor here. They can't. But he just changed his story from, you know, one July to the next. And that's really, you know, people see that and they don't really like it.
Karen DeWitt, Bureau Chief for New York State Public Radio in Albany. She covers the governor, the legislature, goings-on in the state capitol for the various public radio stations around New York State as we talk about the new trouble that Governor Cuomo is in. David in Yorkville, you're on WNYC. Hello, David.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I am really, really upset by Cuomo's style, by his closing down this Moreland Commission. Albany has been unfriendly to New York City, at least the Republicans in Albany, so I don't want to see a Republican governor. But if there was a line, such as this new proposed, or maybe it's already in effect, the women's equality line, on which I could put a vote for Cuomo that would send a message to Cuomo that I'm furious.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted.
So you have a couple of choices there. You'll have that Women's Equality Party that will be on the ballot. You'll have the Working Families Party,
but
which
will
is
that
not
get
a
the
function.
Message across,
well,
of how upset I am with the, I mean, Albany is as corrupt as can be, and Schneiderman seems to be the only guy that's pushing hard against it. Maybe he should run for governor.
Well, he probably would like to 4 years from now or something like that. I don't think he thinks it would be in his interest to run against, you know, Governor Cuomo in a Democratic primary, certainly not up until this point. But if you want to send a message of independence but not voting for the Republican, I guess the Working Families Party is better because that's hold Cuomo's feet to the fire from the left party rather than the Women's Equality Party, which is his own creation. So if that's the message that you're looking to send, then that would line up for you, I guess.
Well, that'll do for a start.
Yeah, so that's
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I would ask the caller, but you're not mad enough to not vote for Cuomo. And this is what the governor, I think, is counting on at this
exactly.
point with the scandal, right? Yeah.
Yeah, David, thank you. And that's, you know, and he said right up front why he would still vote for Cuomo. It would be a nightmare scenario for him and a lot of dyed-in-the-wool Democrats to see a Republican get into office in New York.
Yeah, so, I think the governor's banking on that as well.
Oh, so David, the other thing you can do is vote against Cuomo and for Zephyr Teachout in the Democratic primary, which is in September. So that's another option. But I guess, you know, politically, Karen, this may be of great interest to people who are good government wonks and that kind of thing. But that even though it's a clear storyline, easy to tell, that it's just maybe not the kind of thing that's going to resonate so clearly unless it gets worse?
That's the big question. Is it going to get worse? I mean, if Preet Bharara subpoenas various people in Cuomo's office and that comes out, then it's sort of the drip, 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 and it keeps, you know, coming into the public eye. I mean, I actually thought when the story was out that it wouldn't have as big an impact. But like I said, it seems to be easy for people to comprehend. It fell on a week where there wasn't much domestic news going on, and that's why it got picked up by, you know, the comedy shows, which is always, you know, a bad thing if you're like the lead on the Daily Show.
As the butt of jokes.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I mean, it's very interesting. As we're speaking, Governor Cuomo is actually in Buffalo. His first appearance, he's been completely silent since this broke. He's doing an economic development announcement. He's going to have to face at least some questions from reporters, and it's going to be interesting to hear what he says. Is he going to think of a new reason? Is he going to say, oh, that's old news, I already answered that? Meanwhile, we have his opponents, Rob Astorino, the Republicans going around state to state, city to city, upstate, you know, trying to get the governor to talk about it. Zephyr Teachout, his Democratic primary opponent, has a conference call later today where she's going to talk about it. They don't have a lot of money, though, to keep it alive. If somebody like Rob Astorino had $10 million and go on TV now, take that headline, take other headlines, and make one of those ads with the scary music and Cuomo looking very dour, it would have more of an impact, I think. But at this point, people don't have the money. I think it damages Cuomo, but nobody seriously thinks he's not going to win re-election.
A couple of callers want to respond to the last caller who was looking for a way to keep the Republicans out but still protest Cuomo. Joe in Greenwich Village, you have one?
Hi, yes, I do. I definitely sympathize with that caller because I am also severely disappointed with Cuomo. It just seems like he's another Christie to me. But the Women's Equality Line is just another one of his political machinations to stick it to Zephyr Teachout, to stick it to the Working Families Party. And I just think it's awful. And like, if we want to get a real progressive leader, and we need to get behind Zephyr Teachout now when we have this moment, because it's hot. It's a hot issue right now, and it's her time to capitalize that. And I think that's where we need to put our energy.
Just reinforcing the option of voting for Zephyr Teachout in the Democratic primary against Cuomo. Robert in Manhattanville has a different one. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Brian. You know, under the state law, if you get 50,000 or more votes in the gubernatorial election, you're guaranteed a place on the ballot the next time. I am not a fan of the governor, and last time I voted on the Green Party. And I think this time, if you vote again on the Green Party and you're dissatisfied, and more people will do so, that total amount, obviously being more than 50,000, guarantees them something. But the degree of vote clearly sends a message that there is disenchantment with the leader of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. The Green Party sort of has similar ideals to, let's say, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party in the States. So there's an alternative which ideologically one can register mm-hmm. protest, but be consistent with certain values.
Right, and they've had some.
The Party has obviously been taken over to some extent this cycle from its somewhat different positions than, let's say, the state Democratic Party.
Robert, did you say or do you know who the Green Party candidate is this year?
It's the same guy as last time. Now, I'm showing my age and I'm blanking a little bit. But as I recall, he's a former union leader guy. He ran the last time.
Right. Yeah. I don't know who that is. But
can
I get.
Need a hint here?
Karen, you know everything. Give us
a
hint.
Howie Hawkins. The Green Party candidate.
Next. Let's see. That's a good hint. Is it Howie Hawkins? Robert, thank you for your call. Karen, before you go, it certainly would be a game changer if Cuomo was indicted by the U.S. attorney. But does anybody expect that even as a remote possibility? He's investigating things that Cuomo's Moreland Commission started investigating but didn't finish. But the Times article, as I read it last week, didn't allege anything criminal on the part of the governor in his direction of the commission. So I don't know if anything there would let Preet-Bharara do anything to the governor. Is there any whiff of that, or is that just something we should kind of close the door on?
No, it seems a very remote possibility. But having his top aides indicted, that never looks good, and people think that is a possibility.
Really, top aides?
Well, his chief of staff, Larry Schwartz, is certainly being looked at.
If he interfered with the commission illegally rather than just politically?
Yes, and that's, that would take another half hour to get into, but yes, that's essentially, the heart of it, and that's what they're looking at. Did he do something illegal, or was he allowed to direct whether subpoenas were sent or not?
Karen DeWitt, Albany Bureau Chief for New York State Public Radio, as she covers the Capitol for public radio stations around the state, including this one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, another video shows another New York City police officer attacking a suspect's head with the suspect on the ground. We'll play a little audio from that tape. And again, it was for a small underlying crime, marijuana possession. And we will talk to the leader of a group critical of Commissioner Bratton's emphasis on minor crimes. Stay with us.